We return you now to our regular broadcast. I love that bumper music. It's the Roundtable panel on WAMC. The email address here, roundtable@wamc.org. Oh, what a panel we have. I called it explosive in the billboard, and what an explosive panel. Incendiary, a bunch of people today. I couldn't be happier. We're joined by WAMC's Alan Shartok. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning. I'm just getting ready for our Saturday performance of the Berkshire Ramblers at the Guthrie Center.
No kidding.
Yeah.
You guys are still playing. I did not know that.
Or as my mother would say, I beg your pardon.
I did not know that you were still an entity.
Well, oh, indeed, we are.
Really?
And it's not that we play out all the time, but the Guthrie Center is a very special place. It's a tribute to Woody. Arlo bought it and has fixed it up, and we love to play there, and it's a great band because we've got all these ringers in it.
Yeah.
And we'll sell out, I'm sure.
Now, you're famous for not rehearsing, right?
No, we rehearse on the stage.
Actually,
I made it play.
It's like the radio show.
No,
our
Joe Brody has been the guy who has insisted on rehearsals.
Yeah.
We actually had a rehearsal at my house on Sunday.
Is it paying off?
Oh my God, it's so much better. It's about 1,000 times.
Really?
Better. Yeah.
Well, rehearsing does that for you.
Yeah.
You know, you get tighter. You
so this is the Guthrie Center, and when's the gig?
Saturday night. You could come.
Oh, I'm going to be busy
at 8. That's very funny, Ray. Saturday night at 8, and you can come for a drink or something at 6.
Nice.
Yeah.
Will there be a meet and greet with the stars of the show?
Hell no.
Good plan.
No.
Also joined today by Rosemary Armeo, a journalism professor, an investigative reporter, and globe traveler. Nice to have you here, Rosemary.
I want to say hello to my cousin, Mark Sinclair, cousin-in-law, who, it turns out, unbeknownst to me, is a giant fan of the Roundtable.
Really?
Yes.
You sure he has the right station tuned in?
He apparently yes, and he yells back at us. And so,
Where is he?
He's based in Poughkeepsie. He drives around
Bo-town?
A lot.
Yeah. Well, let's get him on the panel.
That'll be okay,
one,
I'll ask him.
One person who says I agree with
no,
Rosemary.
I want Rosemary's mother.
I could not agree more about that. Now that would be fun.
Okay, Mom, are you listening?
Remember when the car guys brought their mother on?
Yes,
yeah.
That was great.
We'll get some limoncello. We'll sit down.
I have the limoncello at home.
Do you really?
How long does that stuff last?
She prefers Drambuie.
Forever.
Okay.
Well, it's been on our refrigerator or freezer for a long time.
Limoncello.
That'll be fine.
Yeah, limoncello.
Okay, so I don't know if everybody heard this, but Rosemary just admitted that the one person who can shut her up is her mother.
Oh, let's make her a regular. And Libby Post, who also does a pretty good job at that. Nice to have you here,
shutting
Libby.
Shutting people up or being a regular?
Both.
Yeah,
both,
thanks.
Actually. It's nice to have you here. Once again, the email address is roundtable@wamc.org. And, boy, I tell you, some disturbing images and disturbing stories crossing the news wire and the networks yesterday. We'll start with Fox Lake, Illinois. A small community in northern Illinois is mourning a popular veteran police officer who was shot to death during a foot chase Tuesday. Now police in Fox Lake are looking for three men who are accused of killing Lieutenant Charles Joseph Glenowitz, who was 52. Federal agencies, SWAT teams, helicopters, police dogs, dozens of police dogs are searching. Residents are being told to stay home. Schools are closed in the immediate vicinity. The officer told dispatchers he was chasing three men on foot. That's the last he was heard from. They found him in a marshy area, shot to death. They found his gun. And now they're looking for the bad guys.
And the interesting thing, at least a preliminary report, I think, said it was one white guy and two black guys.
No, two white guys and one black guy.
So why is that significant?
Well, because up until now we've been making this sort of a racial thing, you know, that blacks and whites. And here is this other indication.
Yeah, the two white guys, one black guy, and, you know, it's these kind of incidences are horrible, and they're wake-up calls for all of us. But, you know, then you have some of these loose cannon folks in law enforcement who think that this is their reasoning and their excuse for acting badly. And that's the quandary that we're constantly caught in, most recently since the unrest in Missouri last year outside of St. Louis in Ferguson. But there is this tension that's building, and we need to protect the cops and law enforcement, but law enforcement also needs to recognize that taking out their guns and using them when people have their hands up is not a good idea.
There's just another story about that, in
right.
fact. And,
yeah.
and a bystander,
San Antonio.
A bystander was standing there and said
right.
he thought he should record it.
Yeah. Right.
And recorded it. And there, I think it was, again, not that this is...
Oh, it was a white man.
Yeah, no, but I think maybe. All three were Hispanics. Am I right about that?
It was... It might have been. It was down in San Antonio.
No, it's
is
not
this
that...
a racial...
No, it shouldn't be. It's that we have made it into that. And I think that this defies that kind of common wisdom that we see all the time.
All right, the story...
That's why it's important to talk about this, Ray.
The story you were alluding to, and I'll just read you the AP copy really quickly so anyone not up to speed...
including me.
Including you, we'll get the salient facts here. A Texas prosecutor says a second video has emerged that gives authority a very clear view of a confrontation between deputies and a man who had his hands raised before he was shot and killed. Bexar County District Attorney Nico LaHood yesterday described the video as disturbing, but cautioned against a rush to judgment as authorities investigate Friday's shooting that killed 41-year-old Gilbert Flores. An initial video recorded by a motorist from some distance was posted by a San Antonio TV station. It showed Flores outside a residence facing two deputies when he raises his hand while standing motionless. The deputies fired on him multiple times. He fell to the ground. Sheriff's officials say Flores was armed and that non-lethal efforts to subdue him, including using a taser, were unsuccessful. And I got to say, I don't know if you guys saw this. It was on, and we have CNN or some of the news stations on in the newsroom. They showed it unfiltered, and I was disturbed by the video.
Yeah.
I mean, at what point, and I asked the Media Project people this now, at what point does the media... with an obligation to report things, obviously, important things, have the privilege or the right, no, that's not the right word, of showing the whole unedited footage of somebody being shot down. Is that right, or does that go over the line? I know in Texas, they say their deputies are in danger now because this video was shown. Whether or not that's true is a side issue. The real issue is it right for people to see this? Should you see this? Rosemary, we'll start with you.
I think it's news and it happened, and yes, people have a right to see it. I don't like the idea of a media that decides what's best for the little readers and the little viewers out there. It's a horrible thing and it happened. There should be caveats that it's coming, but yeah, I think this material should be available. What is ironic to me is that we've gotten into this situation, we think, in part because police have this view of the communities they police as being enemies. And so, of course, they come out with all this equipment and they shoot back and people, young kids are getting killed when perhaps that is not the best way to police. And that's what started the situation. And now increasingly we actually are getting into that situation where the cops are being picked off. It's a frightening and kind of spiraling event going on. And is the media helping or hurting, I think, is your real question, by showing this footage. I was trying to think why it put people in danger to show another person getting killed.
Well, certainly the video, and it looks damning. I mean, it from what I saw,
so
the guy's hands are up in the air.
So if it, yeah. So
but that's not
looked,
what my point is.
No, I hear your
it's
point.
It's the violence. It is the...
Well, but if you're going to talk about the violence, the
can
TV...
can I register for...
Yeah, go ahead.
No, Libby first.
Okay, to show, 10, 15-second video of somebody being shot on the news and railing against that might not be the right thing for news to do. What about going to the movies? What about our kids playing video games where they shoot people up all the time? What about the imagery that we have every day in the media? I mean, we are a culture of violence, and... That's, for me, that's not entertainment.
Okay, your point.
And so, if we allow our children to shoot people in video games, if we allow our children and we revel in some of these movies where people are being shut up unbelievably, to say, oh, we shouldn't be showing this in the news, to me is duplicitous.
I want to register my agreement with Rosemary. The truth is that it's one thing to read about this stuff. It's another to see it. And that's why it really is news. If you say,
of course it's news.
Excuse me, Raymond, if you say the guy had his hands up in the air, And it makes an impact on you, and that you're disturbed. You are nobody's patsy, that's for sure. I know you very well. And if you say that it was disturbing to you, I think it's a major reason for having this on the air.
Okay, but could you not edit that footage? In other words, I go back to Libby's point here about video games and movies, but I take it from a different angle. This is entirely real. You see a guy fall down to the ground dead. I think from a humanity standpoint and from a cultural standpoint, it is real, and it doesn't look real. It further cheapens the value of human life.
Well, it went viral. It went viral, number one. So, and I think everybody knows very well, and I think that distinction, we've argued about this here, but I think that distinction is something that almost everybody can tell. They can tell the difference between a video game. They can tell the difference between, and we duked this out the other day, but when they see the real thing, they know it's the real thing. And if a police group comes along and says, this puts us in danger, yeah, I mean,
earlier down south. I think it was in South Carolina where we saw the video of a cop chasing a guy who was running away, and the cop takes out the gun and shoots him in the back. We saw that video.
That was disturbing.
Again,
the media that creates. Yes, they all are disturbing. Yeah. It is a disturbing situation. Mm-hmm. It has nothing to do well. It is not the fault of, it is not to be laid at the door of the media. This is a dangerous situation because of our society, not because of the media that reports on
It is why we have to put cameras on
the
every cops.
Cop. Right.
We do.
I'm not so sure why this would lead to threats. I just don't get the connection
say it's copycatter, and that's why people are,
But there's plenty of copycats.
Yeah, like not having any coverage has been so protective. That really worked.
We're having a spirited conversation. We have to take a short time out for a break. The email address here is roundtable@wamc.org. We'll be right back.
You interrupt.
Support for WAMC comes from TSL, Time and Space Limited, in Hudson, New York, screening Maru, Listen to Me, Marlin, The Look of Silence, Steve Jobs, The Man in the Machine, The Outrageous Sophie Tucker, Tangerine, and more, timeandspace.org. Lake George Kayak Company, a kayak, canoe, and stand-up paddleboard center, providing sales, rentals, and lessons. LakeGeorgeKayak.com. And the Tang Teaching Museum and Art Gallery at Skidmore College, providing exhibits, public events, and educational programs for audiences of all ages for the Capital District and beyond. Skidmore.edu/Tang.
We bring you now to the Hotel Vermouth, where we're back with our broadcast. It's Rob Chacon who's bringing the music into the program, and thank you for the bumper music. It's the Roundtable Panel. Libby Post, Rosemary Armeo, Alan Chartok, Ray Graff here. You at home, or wherever you happen to be, the email address is roundtable@wamc.org. What are you doing over there, Alan?
Messing up.
All right.
Okay. This is a ridiculous discussion, says Timothy, about the violence being shown. As somebody said, there is violence everywhere. How about talking about the fact that the guy's hands were up and he got shot? We did talk about that.
Yes, indeed. Mm-hmm. And we will again.
There's a very good brand of wax remover that goes into the ears. Matthew says, media coverage of shooting, blaming the media for putting deputies in danger is not the answer.
Right.
The ones who put the cops in danger were the officers who made the shooting reality in the first place, and that's Matt in Rhinebeck. And Tom says, morning, Roundtable.
Morning.
Showing the video of someone getting shot is lazy reportage. We listen, watch you folks for your reporting and analysis. Do the job. Whoa. Is it really, Tom, one or the other?
No,
is
it is not.
Possible it's both? I'm in a contentious mood this morning.
Oh, you sure are.
Gee, that's so
unusual. As opposed to every other day.
Yeah. And Bonnie says, "Is to see or not to see? Panel, is that really in capital letters the question?
Yes, it is. Now, from a cultural standpoint, it is the question.
Has helicopter parenting permeated the Fourth Estate too? At what point does the all-too-painful fact get edited for sake of public digestion? How does the citizen stay informed on half-truths?" And that's from Bonnie. And let's see. And then Ken says, perhaps if cops are concerned for their, in capital letters, safety, they should start thinking and stop shooting first. And that's what I'm getting. Hey, look, folks, being a cop is not an easy job. It's a very hard job. And I hate to say it, but mistakes are made. When you have children at home and family at home and a wife or husband at home, see, Libby, I did that for you.
Thank you.
At home, then why is everybody shaking their head?
Well,
back and forth?
Continue. Yeah. Yeah, okay. You're on a roll.
Okay. So cops have a hard job, and that's why you have a thin blue line, and that's why people don't testify against each other, and that's why, you know, when I was working in the New York City Police Department, you had the Knapp Commission. A more hated group of people among cops was never done. Robert says, Ray's discontent with killings by cops shows caught on video and shown by news outlets is understandable, but since the cops invariably claim the shootings were justified, it is critical that the public see the best evidence available can make reasoned judgment and stay happen. The alternative is taking the cops' word for it, and that's unfortunately been shown over and over to be unreliable. No, it has not over and over. Over and over, most police do their job, and their job is in question. Every once in a while, you have an aberrant situation, and that's a whole different thing.
Hmm.
I think we have to be very careful here. You know what I think?
We're going to take a break here for a little
Again?
News. Well, we went very late. It was my fault.
I'm not through yet.
Well, we'll come back to this. This is very...
He's a professional. You have to go with what he says.
Riveting stuff. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Roundtable on WAMC. Gosh, it's now a Wednesday morning. It's a warm one here in early September. It's the Roundtable panel. Ray Graff in for Joe Donahue today, joined by Libby Post, Rosemary Armeo, and Alan Shartok. The email address, if you want to weigh in, is roundtable@wamc.org.
How much do you have to wait?
260. Roundtable@wamc.org.
Thankfully, that I'm not going to make the cut.
Okay, well, you're on. You don't have to email.
Yeah,
you
know, okay. Yeah.
Do we have any email, Uncle Alan?
We do.
All right.
We had a second from Tom, so therefore we're not reading it.
All right, fine.
Makes
Maybe we should state the rules.
One to a customer.
Unless
and
we're
140
unless
characters.
It's an extraordinarily insightful second.
Right.
Right.
And 140 characters, I think, is a bit oppressive for an email. For a tweet, yes, but just keep them brief. Nine paragraphs and 12 links. Just keep it to the point.
Well, I think you're right.
All right.
Joseph says, Libby really hit the nail. The video games portray violence, but it's not real. We protect our kids by letting them play at violence without seeing the real consequences of the violent acts. When a person gets hit in the face, they bleed, in capital letters, and the bruises last for days, not like on TV where no effect is portrayed. All of this fake violence has desensitized us.
Mm-hmm.
And then Toby says, very disappointed to hear how quickly video games are brought up to blame the police shooting someone. It's an NRA propaganda that guns don't kill people, video games do. Violence in entertainment has existed since before Shakespeare. It doesn't explain or excuse real-life gun violence.
Can I just say one thing?
Yes.
I mean, my point was, in reaction to Libby's, was that the showing of this real video doesn't look real. It further makes that line blurry, especially to young viewers, that... This isn't real. This is on TV. This is entertainment.
I disagree. And in fact, when I saw it looked very real to me. So that's just the difference between being, you know, older and a little bit more sagacious and not having a white beard.
Okay. All right. So, by the way, if you're just tuning in, the Berkshire Ramblers are playing Saturday, and they've rehearsed, and they may tune up for this one. It's at the Guthrie Center, right?
Are you singing?
Guthrie Center. And you go, I'm the banjo player. 8:00.
No, are you singing?
She said.
What do you mean singing?
The banjo player always sings.
Does the banjo player always sing?
Sometimes. Okay. I can't remember the words.
Can you sing Far, Far Away?
Yes.
All right.
Okay, then go across the street if you can sing Far, Far Away. That's where he was going.
Exactly. Any other letters before I leave?
Do you have Prince Albert in a can?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think we're laughing too much.
Okay,
I agree, but not you, Rosemary.
No, you're a
very
much serious.
Really,
serious.
Very serious.
There's bad news. We need to talk about.
Well, let's read the letters, and then we'll get on to more bad news.
Dan says, 2 points, Roundtable. One, let us not forget the media is always influenced in what they report by ratings, and to not mention that on the show is a bit suspect.
Agreed.
Come on, panel. You're all good people. Put the whole story out there. Just saying.
I like it.
Two, there is way too much emphasis on law enforcement training on shoot to kill, and never any consideration given to warning shots or other tactics short of shoot to kill. More funding to law enforcement agencies would help. For example, always having two officers teamed up. This may have helped with the most recent officer killing. P.S. A great show.
Again, are you tuned to the right station?
Again, I don't understand why they don't shoot somebody in the leg. You know?
As I said at the outset, this video looks pretty bad. And we'll have to wait for the whole story and the second video, but I don't know how you're going to defend this if you're the guy who shot him.
I think, yeah, there is no defense for that. But the training normally is that if you're taking out your gun to fire, you are in dire... emergency. You are in threat of your life, and you don't mess around aiming for a limb. Take care of the threat.
Paul writes and says, gun violence. Too many depressing topics this morning.
Yeah, I agree.
Please, he says, more Trump.
More Trump. Well, it's a Trump-free Wednesday here. Well, we might get to Trump. We may get to him.
No, we're boycotting him today. We're not uttering his name. We could talk about Kanye West. He wants to run for president in 2020.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm in favor of that. The music would be good.
Would that be Kim Kardashian
and
would Kim be the first
Kardashian
lady?
Kim Kardashian is first lady. I'm beside myself.
Yeah.
I'm really moving to Canada.
we love talking about Michelle's arms and her physique. How about Kim's?
Continue.
Yeah.
Kim Kardashian can't put a simple sentence together.
She doesn't have to. You just look at her.
And Michelle Obama can.
Today, for example.
Well, I don't know. Mamie Eisenhower never said much.
Well,
that's
but
true.
What if she's
or
not comparing
Truman
or Bess?
Yeah. Bess Truman, yeah, never.
Martha Washington.
But we're not comparing Kim to Bess or
Kim
maybe.
And Michelle. Okay. Well, yeah. I mean, okay, we could get into this, but Michelle has this great education, probably the most educated of all first ladies. And what has she done with it? She grew a garden and she's in shape.
What's wrong with that?
How about doing like a hospital administration as her specialty? Healthcare might be good. I mean, you have to. I prefer the first ladies in the Eleanor Roosevelt, Hillary Clinton model, where they do something important.
You don't think she's doing stuff that's important?
I do not
important?
Think she's done anything. She hasn't even raised her own kids. She brought her mother in to do it.
She hasn't raised. She has
bashing
raised
Michelle
her own
Obama.
She's with the kids all the time.
Here we go.
And
stop
she's
that.
Dealing with childhood
just
nutrition.
Just stop that.
And taking stands
she grew
on childhood
garden.
Nutrition.
Eat
oh,
carrots.
I'm sorry.
I had to go to
no,
all these Ivy League education
you,
to
you are,
say eat carrots.
You, okay.
Let me tell you something. If she had gone out and worked in the private sector during these last 8 years, she would have been skewered.
Well, I think that's why she's become as meek as she is. She's been
she's
a very retiring first lady, and partly is because it's the fear of the criticism that she would get.
I totally disagree
with you. It's the first black family
become,
in the White House, and that has
she's become a role
her.
Model for women. She's become a role model
not for all women.
And she's dealing with the epidemic of childhood obesity, which is killing.
Nancy Reagan was a role model. Jacqueline Onassis, who was really little more than a gold digger, let's be honest, was also a model. We have terrible first ladies.
Okay.
She was.
And let the record show that at 9:38 the show went off the rails.
That was a dead person, a person who's passed. That's not nice. I didn't see her.
She married rich men. And she stayed thin all her life.
And you resent
and she was
that?
A book editor. I don't resent it. I think she was
life.
A beautiful, interesting woman, but one of the most beloved women in America. Give me a break.
By the way, the roundtable, the email address, we'd love to hear from you in very brief spurts. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Mention Rosemary if you wish. Roundtable at WAMC.org.
Oh, please do, because we'd really like to hear from you.
Okay, so anyway, Ann says, okay, a police issue. Yes, it's a difficult and dangerous job, but yes, there are more than isolated instances of police injuring and killing the public, especially people of color, that indicate a systematic problem with the attitude and choices of law enforcement. As to video shootings, are views expressed today consistent with ones expressed about reporter shot? Okay, you said it, we read it. Let's see. I guess that is sort of it.
Okay,
now.
Great. All right, fine. We'll just take that as an option to move
one
on.
One per customer, please.
Right. CNN has changed its criteria for who qualifies for the next Republican presidential debate, giving former technology executive Carly Fiorina a better chance at appearing in the September 16th primetime affair. Could be over 10 now. in this next debate. The News Network announced the change on Tuesday following weeks of public pressure from Fiorina and her supporters. Fiorina is the only woman in the Republican field. She likely would not have been among the top 10 candidates on the debate stage on September 16th, as determined by national polling between July 16th and September 10th. The new terms would add any candidate who ranks in the top 10 in polling between August 6th and September 10th, a period that better reflects her rise in the polls. The final participants, and there could be more than 10 now, will be announced on September 10th.
Mm.
So my question for you is, what business is it of a network, any network, for shaping a political race?
Well, don't you get it? Don't you understand? No matter what decision is made by anyone, it has political implications. Now, I've tried to teach you over the years, Ray.
Here we go.
That politics is the authoritative allocation of scarce resources.
Right, you are.
And therefore, as soon as you change the rules, somebody's going to get hurt, and somebody's going to get a bigger piece of the pie. It's that simple. And by the way, while we're at it, Steve checked in, and he said, Rosemary is the best. And then he wrote in the thing down at the bottom, that is all.
Good. Good. Very brief. So, Rosemary, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm torn at this because I agree. I don't think the news media have any business whatsoever in setting rules or limits. However, if you have all of the candidates in there, it's not a debate. It's not a discussion. It's a madhouse.
Even with 10
it is. Yes, even with 10 it is. You're right. So what do you do? Because if you don't do anything, okay, that's completely fair, but you're going to make them all look bad. They're going to... It'll be like the round table. We'll all be talking over each other
and
yelling.
No one likes that.
No one likes that. But if you limit it, then what do you do? We're going to have a debate with three here and three here and three here.
Well, other option is that they can split it up.
Yeah.
You know,
and who's going to get Trump?
No, that's the thing. You take all the candidates who have declared, put their names in the hat. However many there are, divided by three, and then you have three.
You can't
debates.
Do it. You can't do it because then because then Bernie the bartender would be in it.
No kidding.
Yeah. Well
that's
wrong.
And then also, you know, when you would have the debates, because you couldn't have them all at the exact same time, so that would give an unfair advantage, perhaps. Would the questions be the same all three times? It's a logistical nightmare to do this sort of debate. And I believe CNN really does want to do it. I even think Fox wanted to do it fairly.
But the thing is, it's a mess. All the media stations, all the networks have been playing this gatekeeper role in debates for as long as we've had televised debates.
And maybe it's different now because there are so many candidates.
Yeah,
Alan, you've been following politics back to the William Henry Harrison.
No, before George Washington. United States.
Yeah. Okay, well, how many times have there been this many candidates in one political party's initial run?
By the way, nothing that I can remember. Nothing that I can remember. Now, somebody will write back, you know, Mortimer Snerdheifer will write back and say, then you didn't hear anything. Yeah, there was. But not that I can remember.
But, I mean, it's a really fine line to draw because I'm sure CNN doesn't want to be part of the selection process. But they will have to draw a line. Now, the last time they had, like, an undercard. Carly Fiorina was on
the
opening act
and
allegedly got some shots in on Trump that the others who are on the main primetime event did not.
Right.
So I find this to be a really tough situation.
Yeah, it is. I mean, the truth is when you have this many candidates, you're not really debating. You're just like listening to candidates serially, throwing out an issue and seeing what they all get. I mean, my idea of the debate is, remember the old West Wing? They had the presidential campaign and the two candidates, which is like, you know what, let's throw out all the rules. Let's just go at it.
Right.
And it was this wonderful discussion about policy and vision and mission. And that's the debate you really want to see. And I bet we never will. We don't. Our candidates cannot really afford to talk to us honestly. We punish them when they do.
And the front runner always wants more people in the debate. I recall Cuomo saying, "Get everybody in there." So the rent is too damn high. It's an advantage to Trump to have everybody in this debate, right?
Well, sure. The traditional way of doing this is that if you're leading in the polls, you don't want to show up. You really don't want to show up because all it does is give an advantage to somebody else to get hurt. So we see that right now even with Hillary a little bit.
Hillary, who wanted more debates with Barack Obama and is a very good debater, she can hold her own against anybody, does not really want to debate Sanders and O'Malley.
Sure.
And and there are six debates, I believe, scheduled for the Democrats.
Yeah.
And there is, I've heard talk, and I haven't really seen too much written about it, so I don't want to go too far out here, but there has been talk of O'Malley and Sanders having their own debate. And the DNC said, oh, don't, no, no, no. Anybody who stages their own debates will be punished.
Do you want to catch up on some of the mail, or would you rather go?
Let's take a break, and then we'll catch up on the mail.
Okay, sure.
But thank you for offering your suggestion. The email is roundtable@wamc.org. We'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from Poughkeepsie Farm Project's 8th Annual Super Bowl, a celebration of local soups, music, and community on Sunday, October 4th. Farmproject.org. Mount Gulian Historic Site Beacon, presenting James F. Brown Day, From Slave to Mr. Brown, honoring the life of a fugitive slave who found freedom in Beacon, Saturday, noon to 5, mountgulian.org. And Edgar Bostic Certified Financial Planner. Private Financial Design, South Hadley, your life, your plan, your portfolio. PrivateFinancialDesign.com, securities through Cambridge Investment Research, member FINRA and SIPC.
Benny Goodman with Lionel Hampton on the vibes there. Mm. Nice. Rob Chacon?
Benny Goodman Quartet.
Well, yeah, I think that might have been the whole big band. We'd have to find out. But thank you, Alan Shartok and Rosemary Armeo and Libby Post. It's the Roundtable panel. And, of course, our email address is roundtable@wamc.org, where you can go on and on and on. And, Alan, somebody did that.
Yes, somebody did that. Okay, John says 10 to 17 competitors is not conducive to a debate of any kind, particularly when they are all basically the same with respect to the issues. It's really more of a personality contest. What would be more appropriate is a cage match.
Nice, nice.
Well, okay. That would be good, actually.
Rosemary, if I wanted to hear women bash and critique other women's physiques, parenting, marriages, and career choices, I would be watching Fox News, and that's from Monique.
Or the housewives of whatever.
Rensselaer County, the housewives of, real housewives of Rensselaer County. Coming up.
I'm not saying
on words. Lifetime.
Jack says, stop talking over each other.
Yeah, you know what?
Okay.
That's true.
Okay.
Well,
we keep trying. And I think we're better at it than
we're
we used to be.
We're just very animated and passionate.
Yeah, but he's right. Ian says, I would buy a shirt that says politics is the authoritative allocation of scarce resources. I would also buy a CD of Rosemary critiquing all the past first ladies.
Oh, I could do that.
Yeah.
Okay. And Michael says, for the sake of the universe and the betterment of humankind, please give Rosemary a daily hour-long show of her own.
A monologue. Can you imagine that?
That's okay. Funny.
Whoa, look at this thing. It's too long from Sam.
Okay.
Way too long.
All
sorry,
right,
Sam.
Sorry, Sam.
Sorry, you're out, Sam. And then Naomi says, maybe the Republican Party will continue to throw hordes of candidates into the ring because they don't have one decent candidate? That's a question mark. Okay. And we already read Jacques. I summarized it. And then we heard from Cher.
Cher?
Cher.
Okay.
Cher.
Because when you hear from a sofa, let me know.
What we are not seeing in these videos is what happened before the filming began. What precipitated the shooting?
Absolutely right. We need more detail on this. Not necessarily the graphic video.
And then Stephen writes one which will never make the air because we'd lose our license.
Oh, really? Is it funny?
Yeah. It's about Rosemary.
Oh, no.
And it says, what does she have to say about that conniving? And then there's a word I'm not reading. Mother Teresa. I think he's got his...
Christopher Hutchinson, who was... Hutchins. The guy who died of cancer, an atheist, wrote an amazing work on Mother Teresa, and it was the only one that criticized her. She did not... She had problems with her faith. It was difficult for her. And she sort of liked hanging out with the Pope. So what he did was point out the humanness in a saint, and it makes you love Mother Teresa even more. So,
isn't the crisis of faith integral to the religious experience?
Absolutely. But I mean, any other piece you read about her was like, oh, she's a saint. She's wonderful. She never does any wrong. She was actually a human being. And so when you talk about the realness of people, you actually make the things that they do that are great
yeah.
more more in perspective.
I, of course, don't know whether Stephen, who wrote that letter, had his tongue in his cheek.
Oh, I think
I'm
he
sure
did.
He did. Yeah, but I answered him seriously.
Yeah, you answered
seriously. So the thing was, she was a Pope groupie. That's what
okay,
I have to say
here
about
comes, all right. Here comes Patsy, who says about Michelle Obama. Hi, panel. I am disgruntled at Rosemary this morning.
Uh-oh.
There are, quote, food deserts in poorer... It's deserts or desserts?
Yeah, no, deserts.
Yeah.
In urban areas.
In poor urban neighborhoods,
right,
where good fresh food is scarce.
She's absolutely
Mrs. Obama addresses that issue and others of child and adult nutrition, hunger and poverty. Libby is correct, as always, and that's from Patsy.
Well, thank you, Patsy.
Well, you can't drive a wedge between Libby and I. We have solidarity on this panel.
And we all love each other.
I think that Michelle...
when
I think
start?
Michelle Obama has really been an underachiever as because... And that's not a criticism. I think she's an amazing woman. We've not seen a bit of that.
Can I ask you a question, though? When did it become necessary for the First Lady to have a cause?
Apparently
Barbara Bush, I don't see her out front on many issues back when
no, she wasn't. The only thing she dealt with was adult literacy.
But the point is, I mean, you elect the president, right?
Yes, you elect the
presidency. You're not electing the whole family.
Come on, we have had first ladies have this bully pulpit, and they have been the most prominent women in our country since Martha Washington, and they do have a role. And sometimes the role is like Bess Truman, which is my role is to support the executive, and that's what she did, and that she wanted to. You have to respect
that. We never heard a word from her.
Right. She didn't like the White House. She didn't like Washington all that much, but that was her role, and she stated it. You have to admire it. I'm sorry.
Okay. So here we have a situation where we have an African-American president who was skewered because of the color of his skin and stymied for doing anything for the first 6 years of his presidency because of politics. Here we have his wife, who is as much under the microscope about her skin color and what she does, more so than any other first lady. And so to say that she hasn't done anything, I think it really is disingenuous, because she's looking at issues that will make a difference in the lives of the disenfranchised. Food is a key commodity for all of us. And when you talk, nobody's ever talked about food deserts except for her. Nobody's talking about childhood obesity and the impacts of it on lifelong health but her. So is she dealing with health care? Is she the Eleanor Roosevelt of her time?
No.
She was not able to have that, because if she did, look, she
well, that's
tried
a
to do something. No, but
Libby,
she
that's
tried,
a disappointment.
She tried
hey,
to.
Jack is going to be mad at us.
Right.
Be careful.
She tried. She did the best she could in the situation that she has, where she was also a target as much as her husband and her kids.
Sorry, Libby, don't buy it. She totally got into the fashion thing, and that's one thing women don't need. Like, oh, we're just something to look at.
She dresses
don't need.
She buys at J. Crew. It's not like she's, you know, making millions for the designers.
My wife only wears vintage, and I don't dare tell her what to do. You know, I mean, please.
Will she be at the Berkshire Ramblers show?
Oh, indeed. She's in the band.
No way.
Oh, she's in the
Berkshire
Ramblers in the
what
band.
Does
what does she do?
She's the girl singer.
Really? The girl singer.
She's gonna have a long
suddenly
ponytail?
It's 1941.
I want to go.
She's
see
the
it.
Girl singer, and she has a tambourine. She plays tambourine.
Ah, well, of course. There
and
you
she's
go.
Terrific, by the way.
I'm sure she
is. She is
got
good.
Good rhythm, huh?
She's got a great voice. So let's be careful about that. Rosemary. Michelle Obama encouraged us to grow gardens, participate in community gardens, use local food sources, eat in healthy ways. If everyone did this, an entire population's general health and well-being would improve, and which would affect the healthcare system. Just because this First Lady's efforts are lost on you does not make them worthless.
Okay, I apologize. Michelle Obama is one of the best First Ladies we ever had. Let's move on.
Michael says, the journalist you referenced was Christopher Hitchens.
That's it. Yeah. That's
not
it.
Hutchins.
Thank you very
His
much.
His book on Mother Teresa was called The Missionary Position.
It's terrific. It's terrific. Yeah. And a little irreverent,
Rosemary,
as you can tell.
Rosemary says, Jorley, please have a daily rant on social media. I need it.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
Julia says,
well, you're on Twitter.
We could do Rosemary's Rant at Facebook and Twitter.
Okay, let's move on to real news
and
here.
And you could become a national star.
You're becoming
I could be First Lady.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know about that.
I'd have
she
to,
could.
I'd have
she
to
could.
Marry
you think you could marry Bernie?
Okay.
Sure.
And Julia says, policing is hard work. Policing is dangerous work. Perhaps serious mistakes are made, but there's enough evidence of misconduct. If the police don't start to make cultural changes from within the ranks, who will? Well, no, that one of the reasons you have outside forces policing police, policing the governor of New York or the legislature, is that they don't police themselves all that well. And one of the things is that you have a U.S. attorney, Preparara, or others doing it. That's what you need. You need outside people looking at the way in which authority behaves. I think that's simple. You don't believe that, Ray?
No, I do. I just wondered. Yeah. You know, we got a lot of letters.
Yeah, yeah.
So it takes up the whole show.
Well, I don't know what you want to say.
Well?
Joe Galoo says, remember him? Alan, Libby, Rosemary, yeah. Isn't it obvious that the rash of unjustifiable shootings of unarmed young blacks is provoking mentally deranged people into shooting police? And Harriet says, hello.
Hello.
Michelle Obama and Jill Biden have joined forces, which provide support to military members and their family. Michelle also has Reach Higher, an initiative to inspire young people across the nation to take charge of their lives and future. Also, Let Girls Learn, a national international organization to help girls get education. Look her up. And that's from Hattie. Okay.
All right.
And then Matt says, if the first lady's job is so important, why aren't the candidates' spouses debating? Somebody call CNN.
They are.
Oh, geez.
They usually do. They certainly did in the last
election. They have a first
lady
debate?
They had the first ladies talking. Yes, absolutely. And they didn't debate each other, but they did warring speeches. They absolutely are a part of the campaign. Sorry.
Henry says, I voted for Shirley Chisholm. I support Pat Schroeder. I would love to have had Elizabeth Warren. I would love to hold my nose for Hillary. Same old politics and corruption. Go Bernie, says.
Well, all right. Yeah. Thank you for your emails, everyone. Yeah. Is that it?
There's more, but they're second timers.
Okay, we don't do that.
We don't do that.
No. Roundtable at WAMC.org if it is, in fact, your first time. Well, all the people weighing in, it's great. I love it. Well, we're out of time.
No.
And I didn't get a chance to talk about the Yahoo story. Most Americans' hearts are older than their chronological age. And I thought, you know, every now and then we have a hypochondriac's corner. And I thought, Alan, you could
wait. Watch that, Buster.
You know, so maybe we'll save this for tomorrow.
I tried getting onto the site, and I think so many people were on it, I couldn't get on.
That particular story?
Yeah.
Yeah, 3 out of 4 Americans' hearts are older than the chronological age, raising the risk of heart disease, stroke, and premature death, something that is on your mind occasionally. And we, in fact...
You're pointing at me?
Yes. No. In fact, we'll discuss this tomorrow, if the letters allow. And thanks...
If your heart can take it.
Thanks, everybody, for being here. Libby Post, Rosemary Armeo, and Alan Shartok, and thank you at home. Hour number 2 of the Roundtable is on the way.
Get your exercise.